Okay, so we are up to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah on top. Just one, the end of yesterday, somebody came over to me with just a good translation, so I'm just going to repeat it. We had the six things that a Chacham Chacham shouldn't do at the end of the daf yesterday. So one of them is Al Yafsiya Psiya Gasa. Shouldn't take big steps. And someone came over to me and said it's strutting. I think it's a good translation of what Psiya Gasa is. Doesn't mean big steps, but that type of walk with a feeling that you're on top of the world. So that was just one who suffer. Okay, the Mishnah tells me, Mem Dalam Anal, Hevil Afanam Maliach Tchila Upas Imo, or Bitchila, says the Bach, Upas Imo. Somebody is brought a salted food, Upas Imo, and bread along with it as a tafel, as a secondary item to eat with the salt. Let's say it's a type of, type of herring, and then you eat a little. Take a little bread in order to absorb some of the salt or absorb some of the liquid. So then the ikar of what you're eating is the maliach, is the salted item, and the tafel is the bread. So mavarech al maliach upoter as apas, shapas tfelalo. So then you'd make a bracha on the maliach, on the salted dish, and you would not make a bracha. That would pater the bracha on the bread, shapas tfelalo. This is the rule of ikar and tafel. If you have ikar and tafel, so then you only make a bracha on the ikar, and that paters the tafel. The Gemara is going to talk about even bread. Even bread could be tafel. This is it's not like we had earlier. If there is a grain that is an ingredient, so then you don't apply the principle of ikar and tafel if you have one unit of food. You have one chafsa. So then we said, kol sheyesh bo chameishos aminim chayav levarech bar minei mezonos. But this is different. This is if you have two items. You have two items. One of them is the main reason why you're eating, the ikar, and one of them is the tafel. So then you make the bracha on the ikar, and that pot is the tafel. Zeha klal, this is the rule. Kol shehu ikar v'imo tfela, mevarech ala ikar upoter es ha-tfela. What this is the rule, you only make a bracha on the ikar, and that pot is the tfela. So he asks the Gemara, Umi kamididav imaliach ikar pas tfela. Is it possible to have something that's salted, that's so special, it's even more special than bread? How is that possible? What is there out there that, you have a salted item and that it pates the bread? So Amar of Acha, Breder of Avira, Amar of Ashi, Ba'ochle Peros Ginosar Shanu. What does that mean? So there seems to be a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah against Tosfos. Exactly how do you put those words into the Mishnah? Rashi seems to say that the maliach, the salted item in the Mishnah, is peros ginosar. Peros ginosar is a special fruits. Ginosar is usually understood as fruit from near Tveria, somewhere near the Kinneret. And that fruit was so special, so those salted fruit are so special, so tasty, so delicious, that if you eat, it's possible to eat that with bread, and bread will be the tafel, bread will be the secondary item, while the peros ginosar will be the main item. That's what Rashi says, peros ginosar, peros eretz yam kineret chashuvim min hapas. It's not just a mashal, that just like peros ginosar are special, so too you can find a davar maliach that's special. That's another way to understand the Mishnah. But it sounds like that these are, this could be what's talked about in the Mishnah. Let's read a little bit more, and then we'll do Tosfos. Amar Rav Bar Chana ki Avigazlina Basrei. This is just a mashal, a story that shows us how special and delicious these fruit were. Ki Avigazlina Basrei Rabbi Yochanan Lemechal Peros Ginosar. Rav Bar Chana says that when we were going after Rabbi Yochanan to eat Peros Ginosar, to eat these fruits of Tveria, ki Aviran Beimeya Man Ketinan LeKol Chad V'Chad Asara Asara. When we were 100 people, we each gathered 10. So that Rabbi Yochanan would have 1,000 fruits to eat. When we were only 10 Talmidim, we each gathered 100. So also, he would have 1,000 fruit to eat. And every 100 of the fruit needed a tzina, a barrel, by tzlasa savi, that would hold 3 sa'ah of fruit. Meaning tremendous fruit, tremendous amounts of fruit, tremendous fruit. The achil lahu, and Rabbi Yochanan would eat it, umishtavet l'otam ziyuna. And he would swear to us that he hadn't eaten anything. So the Gemara says, ziyuna sakadayta? What do you mean? Really? What do you mean? He did eat. So the Gemara means, no, el eima mazona. It means that he would swear to us that he wasn't full after eating these 1,000 fruit. So that's the question. Is this a guzma? The Gemara does exaggerate sometimes. Either way, the fruit was delicious, and you'd eat a lot of them, and in that way would be satiated. But we got into this whole thing because this was the ikar of the Mishnah. Okay, let's just finish up a little bit, and then we'll go back to Tosfos. Rabbi Yavo Achil Adavi Sharegle Dudva Me'apuse. Rabbi Yevo ate so much of these fruit until a dudva, Dalet and Zayin, switch in Aramaic, until a bug would slip off his forehead. And if he ate so much fruit so that, like, his forehead, the pores in his forehead were, like, oozing out the juice of the fruit. He ate so many of these fruit. Ravami Ravasi Aviachli Ad Nasr Mazayu. Ravami Ravasi ate so much that until their hairs fell out. Rishim ben Lakish Aviachal Demarid. Rish Lakish used to eat until Marid, from the word Morid, until he, like, started going crazy, until he was rebelling. Rashi says Daito Mitarefes. It's like he was just in a state. Until Rabbi Yochanan had to tell the Bei Nesiyah, he had to send to him. And Rabbi Yehuda, the head of the Nasi, had to send men to go take care of Reish Lakish, who was in this state, and send Reish Lakish home. In other words, all of these Amaram ate these fruits, so much of these delicious fruits, until they started going crazy. Just a question, what happens? I didn't see anybody who talk about it, but if you know that these fruit are going to make you daito mitarefes, are you allowed to put yourself into this situation? And the Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Gemara just says this is what happened to Reish Lakish. Okay, so let's stop there for a minute. Let's go to the Taptosis. Taptosis says, Ba'ochle peruski nosar shanu. So the Gemara had said that where do you have a taste, an example of ikar, where it can be more special than bread? So the Tosfos says, no, so the Gemara says peruski nosar. So what does that mean? So the Tosfos says, different than Rashi, Shahamaliach ikar, Shehu ba lahashiv alev, Shenechlash b'nei betikos haperos, V'hapashalach rav tofel, V'eino ba'el b'shvil hamaliach. According to Tosfos, it's that you ate the fruit, but the fruit was so sweet, then you ate this maliach. Maliach wasn't the fruit, which Rashi, it seems to be from Rashi or Midiona. But from Tosfos, it seems like you have fruit. They're so sweet, you need something to counter the sweetness. Therefore, then you eat maliach. After you eat the maliach, you need something to counter the saltiness, so then you eat bread. So the Mishnah says, in that type of case, where first you eat the fruit, then you eat the salted, then you eat the bread, so then you don't have to make the bracha on the bread, you're pater with the bracha on the maliach. The question, though, is then, according to Tosfos, why not? If you're talking about Ikar and Tafel, so what was the Ikar, really? The Maliach wasn't the Ikar. Tosfos says, V'im Tomar, Peros Avi Ikar, U'Maliach Tafel, V'Livach Ala Peros, V'Livach Kulu. The first step was the fruit. If you ate the fruit, which caused you to eat the Maliach, which caused you to eat the bread, so then just make a bracha on the fruit, not just make a bracha on the Maliach. So Tosfos says two answers. V'yish Lomar, T'mai Yish Lo Achal, HaPeros Bo'osa Maimed. You're in a different room, different place. So therefore, the fruit, the Maliach required its own bracha. Inami, B'shah Sha'achal Peros Ginosar, Lo Hayasham Adayin Maliach, Upas. When you ate the fruit, you did not have the Adayin Maliach in front of you. You didn't have the Tafel in mind when you ate the Ikar. And says Tosfos Yisod, that if when you eat the Ikar, you don't have in mind the Tafel, so then it does not pater. That is the rule. So if I'm eating a main dish, and then I bring out a Tafel dish to eat with it, if I did not have that in mind originally, it requires its own bracha. Says the Chazon Ish on this Tosfos. You know what you see from this Tosfos? There are at least, there may be three, but at least two different ways to understand this principle of Ikar and Tafel. What does it mean that if you make a bracha on the Ikar, it paters the Tafel? Does that mean, says the Chazon Ish, that when I have an Ikar and a Tafel, only the Ikar requires a bracha? If something is Tafel, it doesn't need a bracha halachically. That's one way to understand. Mavarach al Ikar paters the Tafel, that means you make a bracha on the Ikar, and the Tafel doesn't need a bracha. That's Ikar and Tafel. When you have cereal and milk, this milk doesn't need a bracha, because it's Tafel, only Ikar needs a bracha. Or do I say, says the Chazon Ish, no, the Tafel needs a bracha, but it's covered by the bracha of the Ikar. You make a bracha on the Ikar, and that paters the bracha on the Tafel. Says Rav Moshe in a tshuva, that's the pashas of the words. Mevarech ala Ikar upoter es ha-Tafel. Poter Tafel doesn't mean it paters the chiyuv of the Tafel, so there's no chiyuv. It's a little difficult. It's possible, but it's a little difficult. It's more probable that it's mevarech ala Ikar, and that counts as the bracha on the Tafel. Says the Chazon Ish, you see from this Tosfos the second way. Because who cares if the Tafel, you didn't have it in mind. If it's Tafel and it doesn't need a bracha, boom, even if I don't have it in mind. It's secondary, it doesn't need a bracha. Haraya, says the Chazon Ish, that really you make a bracha on the Ikar and it paters the Tafel. So it makes sense. If the Tafel's not there, if you don't have it in mind, it's not going to work. That's what the Chazon Ish says if you want to look it up in the end of Siman Sama in Chav Zayin. I saw on the Rebbe Kiva Eger on this Mishnah, maybe he has another Nafkamina. He says, Zehaklau, this is the rule. Usually this is the rule, always includes something. Unusual. Here the Gemara doesn't ask, what is the Zehaklau including? Zachal. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says maybe he's including the following. I would have had a Hava Mina, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that this principle of Ikar Tafel only works by Shahakol. If the Ikar has a bracha of Shahakol, then that patters everything else. But if the Ikar has a specific bracha, then you wouldn't say the principle of Ikar Tafel. Kabash Malan, you do. Zachal, you say it works by any bracha. So again, what's the Hava Mina? Would you really have that Hava Mina that it should only work with a Shahakol as an Ikar? So I thought maybe you could say it's totally on the Chakir of the Chazon Ish. If you say that the bracha on the Iker means that works for the bracha on the Tafel, then it makes sense, because Shahakol really, but the Eved works for everything. So you can make a bracha on the Iker that patters the Tafel. But the Havamina is, if the Iker has a different bracha, right? If you say the second approach of the Chazon Ish, which we said first, which is that the Tafel doesn't need a bracha, then what's the Havamina? What do you mean? It doesn't need a bracha. Who cares what the Iker's bracha is? So that issue of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger might itself be tully on which approach you take. There might be a third approach. I once heard a shiur from my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig that maybe it's not that it's Iker and Tafel, but that when you have an Iker and a Tafel, they're halachically viewed as one eating, even though it's two objects. But when you have cereal and milk, that's one food, cereal, milk hyphenated. And that's only one bracha. So it's not exactly the bracha, the Iker works for the Tafel. But it's one Maisa Achila, and one Maisa Achila requires one bracha. There might be a third approach, but maybe we'll have a shiur on it one day. Okay, so that is on the Mishnah, the two approaches had on, or maybe three approaches had on the principle of Ikar Tafel. Okay, here we go. Ki Asa, the last word on the line, about 12 lines down, 15 lines down. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Ir Achas. So we're still talking about places with a lot of people who ate a lot of fruit, and similar stories. Yazar of Dimi Omar, Yir Achas Haisal Yanai HaMelech Bahar HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech had a city on the king's mountain, on Har HaMelech. Shoyimotzian Mimena, that they used to get from there, Shishim Rebo Safle Taris. Rebo is 10,000. So Shishim Rebo, 600,000 Safle Taris. Barrels and pails of Taris. Rashi says Taris is tuna. Rashi says, Taris, Svalim Malayim Chatichos Dag Chatuch, Shekorim Tunina. Right? Little pieces of fish. So 600,000 pails of tuna. What do you need so much tuna for? Lukotetse Ta'enim. For the ones who used to cut the figs. There were so many fig cutters that they needed so much snack, so much food. Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos. That's just for a week. Right? So it's just another example. We have so many fruit, like we spoke about, they got 1,000 fruit for Rabbi Yochanan to eat of the Peres Kinosar. So similar story, the Yanei HaMelech had so many kotes etainim, the cutters of figs, that he needed so much to feed them. He asked Ravin, Amar Ilan Haya Echad Haya Lo Yanei HaMelech Bahar HaMelech. Ravin says that a similar story, that Yanai had such a big tree on his mountain. They used to take down from the nest 40 sa'ah. A sa'ah is a measurement. It's not just 40 birds. 40 sa'ah of gozlos, of doves, of pigeons, of young birds. Mishalosh breichos b'chodesh. From three times that there was a hatching, there was a laying of the children, of the offspring, each month. So again, 40 sa'ah of gozlos three times every month. So again, it just shows you how big the tree was related to the previous story about how many fruit that they got, how many kotes to eat they had. Final story, Kiyasa Rabbi Yitzchak. We're talking about cities now, that's something special about cities. So we throw in this one, which is very different. Amar, Ir Achas Haisam Eretz Yisrael v'Gufanis Shema. There was a city in Eretz Yisrael named Gufanis. Shehayuba Shmonim Zugos Achim Kohanim Nesu'im L'Shmonim Zugos Achios Kohanos. 80 pairs of Kohen brothers married to 80 pairs of Kohen sisters. That's what it was, a city, a unique city. The Marsha here says it was just to emphasize to us the seriousness in which they took their yichus of kahuna. They wanted to keep it in the shevet, in the part of the shevet of the kahuna. Therefore, these 80 brothers married 80 sisters. Right? Two brothers are allowed to marry two sisters. There's no iser to that. Right? You have two brothers. So then, when the second brother marries, so who's he marrying? He's marrying the sister of his brother's wife. There's no iser to that. So two brothers are allowed to marry two sisters. Ubatku Rahmat Rabbanan Misurva Anarda, and the Rabbanan looked from Surat and Aharda, Velawashukho, they did not find any city like this, or anybody who ever did this. There's a Ben Yehoyada I saw that discusses why'd they check. You know, what's, maybe they were checking because this was a story in Eretz Yisrael, maybe they're checking in Chuslaritz. If there was maybe this was a schus of Eretz Yisrael that things worked out. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael, maybe in Chuslaritz it would be different. But anyway, they checked and they didn't find anybody, except for they found a half half of a case. Bar mi bante de Rav Chisda da havi nesivan l'Rabbi Bar Chamal Mar Okva. The daughters of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was a Kohen. His daughters married these two great Amorayim, Bar Okva and Bar Chama. V'yavagav de inu avikahanta, inu lo avikani. But it really wasn't an exact parallel, because they were daughters of Kohanim, but they weren't sons of Kohanim. But either way, that's what they looked, and why was the story brought in here? Because it talks about a city which has a uniqueness. What is this? Okay, so maybe not much talked about this line, but there is a well-known tshuva of the Noda Yehuda about this line and about other lines. I think I've mentioned it before. The Noda Yehuda was asked, somebody sends him a tshuva that his daughter is going out with a wonderful guy, a Ben Torah, but the son has the same name as the future father-in-law. So should this shidduch be ois shidduch? That was the question to the Noda Yehuda. He's a wonderful guy, he has mitzvos, he has Torah, he has everything, but the names aren't, you know, not so good. So says the Noda Yehuda, 1 second. Da talmidi ha-chaviv, v'yu dvarim halalu chakukim aluach libecha lizikaron. Remember this very well. Ha-klal ha-gadol, she'ein l'kol chachamim, she'achar ha-talmud rishus, lomar dover neged ha-talmud. Nobody after Shas has the authority to argue. He doesn't quote it, but it's a Ramah. The Ramah says, "Beferish in Shulchan Aruch, you can't argue on the Gemara." The Vilna Gaon argued on the Gemara sometimes. He was asking like the Mishnah, but he was different. Generally, you can't argue on the Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, "Ravina v'Ravashi sof hora'a," and therefore you could argue. Some Achronim could argue on Rishonim. Rishonim might be able to argue on Gaonim. It says something in the Gemara, you can't argue on it. That's the rule. V'ha'omer davar lister kotzo yud b'divrei Talmud lo yechashi v'chlal chach v'Yisrael. Forget it. You can't listen to him. So he says, "Va'amnam, if you ever find a Chachmei Yisrael, one of the Gadol Hadar, who says something negative to Talmud, you either have to say that we misunderstood him, or he meant it in a certain way. Maybe he didn't mean it as a din; he meant it as a personal chumrah." So he says, "Kiyotse Bazeh, for example, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Look at the famous will of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Every other line is against the Gemara. Every other line, he says you shouldn't marry your niece. The Gemara says you should mitzvah to marry your niece." Right, all these examples. One of them, Ukayoti Bazeh on the Motzim, he says, Kiyoma Shaloisa Basachoso, but Gwaram Shu Mitzvah. Hu Omer Shaloisa Ava Wino Shteachios, a father and a son should have married two sisters, Rav Papa Wino Nasu Shteachios. Hu Omer Shaloisu Beis Achim Shteachios, he says two brothers should have married two sisters, Uba Gemara in Brachas, Shimonim Zug Achim Kohanim Nasu Shmodim Zug Achios Kohanos. So what are you telling me? All these, the Gemara seems to be in praise and awe of it. It's not such a bad. If he really meant this for Klal Yisrael, that he'd be going against the Talmud, and we can't believe that. So says the Noda Yehuda, it must be that, this is the part that's more well known, that we don't pass on like this Sava. And even though some are machmed about it, it must be he meant it for his family, not for Klal Yisrael, because it's against a lot of things in the Gemara. He must have had in his Ruach HaKodesh, he saw that the Zivugim in his family wouldn't be Ola Yafeh if he didn't make up these rules and regulations. But he didn't meet it Alpi Halacha. So he just ends off, which is, this is for a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. And he says, and anyways, therefore it's mutter for your daughter to keep going out with this guy. But I don't know why he ends off the Tshuva. Everybody asks me about these Shilas. Oh, the same name. Oh, this. Oh, that. They don't ask me, oh, he's not a Ben Torah. They don't ask me about Midos and Torah and the Iker stuff. They ask me about these technicalities. He says, well, where's our value system? He says, V'tamani Aroba Olam. Shalasei's Bitam la'am ha'aretz who pushed that slum. Ve'ed choshesh lehimana. Ve'hu neged divrei chazal. She'amru she'ilu kofto menicha lefnei ha'ari. U'leschatim serva me'rabana. She'shmo kishmo. Heim sho'alim. V'lo tehei Torah shleima shalanu. Kitzava be'alma. So that's what the Noda Yehuda says, that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid's Sava must have been for his family, because it's against our Gemara, and therefore we don't have to pass on like it. Right? A lot of the stuff that we have about shaving on Rosh Chodesh, a lot of things come from...
There are people that treat his Sava with such seriousness.
You're right, there are people that treat Hamach Retavar La Bracha more than the Asaras HaDibros. But again, we have to know what is our value system. If you want to keep it, you want to be machmer for some of the lines, wonderful, fine. But you got to know what's a chumrah, says the Noda Yehuda. You have to know what's the din, what's the chumrah, what's the minug. You know, somebody asked me yesterday, I really want to do it. He didn't know, he'd be eating matzah, he said, you got to go. The, up till Erev Pesach is a minug not to eat matzah. On Erev Pesach is a din not to eat matzah. On Pesach is a mitzvah to eat matzah. Right? You got to know what's the din, what's the halacha.
The Gemara says that they searched for a similar case. The 79
Even that one pair wasn't right. Really a parallel.
It's not parallel, and it's not even...
Right. Meaning, it's unclear in the Gemara why they searched. Why did they search? They wanted to see. That's why I said that the Ben Yehoyada, one of the great Sfaradi Achronim on Agada, he says maybe they were saying that, is this a good idea? Maybe it was the Schus of Eretz Yisrael that was Megan on Lahim. Therefore, they look Misur Ba'ad Nahrda, which is in Chutz Laaretz, to see if it was if they could find another pair, and then they didn't. So meaning maybe it was the Schus of Eretz Yisrael. So you say maybe he could fit into the
other than the
I'm not sure exactly how the story fits. Okay, Amar, three lines up from the Mishnah. Yeah, Dovi. What do you mean? Which aspect? The Gemara is not telling us to do anything here. But eating the 1,000 fruit. Right. So it's, I'm saying. So that I said the Torah, the Gemara sometimes speaks in Guzma. Gemara does speak. Yes, we can. It's an exaggeration. Yes, we can accept that. If that's that helps your avodas Hashem, you know, you can accept that it's an exaggeration. Okay, Amar Rav, three lines up. I just thought it. Rabbi Yochanan was the Baal Basar we had before, right? He was the one that couldn't say Kriya Shema, so it fits that. I mean, maybe he ate a lot. I'm just saying, maybe there's a connection. I don't know. Amar Rav, Kol Seuda Shein Ba Melach Eina Seuda. Any Seuda that does not have salt. Is that a seuda? That's one of the makaris for having salt on the table. Amar b'chei barabar Rabbi Yochanan kol seuda shein ba saraf, ain't a seuda. Any seuda doesn't have saraf. What's saraf? Rashi says tav shalach sheish bo marak, because saraf means to gulp. Kabo shor fachaya. So it's a makar to have soup at every meal. Right? I tell my wife I love soup, so I say, oh, it's a gemara. Right? You have to have saraf at every meal. Iker and tafel. I'm saying, so there already, is that really two things? And is it really a tuffel? You know, that might be, once it's in the soup already.
I was talking about
the salad. It is one dish. I can understand how that's an ikkar tuffel. But I don't know how tuffel that is. The bread there isn't just to like, tuffel in the Mishnah is where it's to counter a taste of the maliach. Here it's to add something. It's not to counter it. So it might be, I don't know, is the lettuce, some people eat the salad for the croutons, just as much as they eat it for the lettuce.
So is it
subjective? Or? Ikra tuffel, a lot of it is subjective. You could be eating the same thing. One person can make one bracha, one person can make another bracha. So a lot of Hilchas brachas are subjective.
But you're having salad, and you're eating for the salad, but it has
the croutons. Right, let me think about it. Right, but barley is an ikker part of the structure of the right. But if it takes if there's such a quantity of the barley and that makes up so much of the dish, I don't know if we could treat that as tough. I don't know if we could treat that as tough. Okay, Mishnah. Okay, this is the last mission in the parak. This is Rabbi Gabliel's sheet that we had before. Rabbi Gabliel says, if you eat any of the fruit of the seven minim, the Zion minim, you bench. You bench afterwards. That's Rabbi Gabliel's sheet. We don't pass in that way. Chacham say, no, you say an al ha'etz. That's what we hold. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilo Achal Shalak V'Umazonim Mavarach Alav Gimel Brachas. Rabbi Akiva said, no, even if you have a vegetable dish, if that's your main course, you got to bench on it. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. You bench on a main course. Period. Hashosavayim Letzlamo. Second half of the Mishnah. If you drink water because you're thirsty, Bavarek Shachol Niyah Bavaro. We'll have to see what that's coming to exclude. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Borei Nefashas Rabbas V'Chesronim. Rabbi Tarfon said that you make a Borei Nefashas before you drink water. No, we don't pass in that way either. My time at the Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara says, what's the reason that Rabbi Gamliel says that you have to bench after you eat pomegranates and dates and figs? Why does he say that? What's his source? Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk, Eretz Chito Sa'ora B'Chulu, and it has the Pasuk of the seven Minim. Dechsev, and right afterwards it says, Eretz Asher Lo B'Vizkenus Tocha B'Lechem. It's a continuation of the praise of Eretz Yisrael. Nothing is missing. Dechsev, Yachalta V'Savalta V'Rachlus Hashem Al-Kecha. And right after that, you have the marker for benching. So you see, two Psukim after the Zion Minim, it mentions benching. Haraya, that you have to bench for the Zion Minim. That's Rabbi Gabriel Shita. V'Rabbana, no, Eretz Hipsik Inyan. You have a Pasuk in between. You have Eretz Hashalom B'Biskenus in the between. So that obviously is mafsik between Zayin Minim and benching. So you don't have to bench on Zayin Minim. For Rabbi Gamliel Nami Eretz V'Hifsika Inyan. So according to Gamliel, doesn't Eretz mafsik. So therefore, what does he do? Isn't that a hefsik? So he said, Rabbi Gamliel said, no, that's teaching me a halacha about Suda. Hahumi boy lilamuti akosis is achita. It's coming to exclude what we had all the way back in Lamed Vav, I think, that if you chew raw wheat, if you chew raw wheat, so then you're not going to make a mizono. So that's what it's excluding. But it's all one hemshecha. Therefore, the word Eretz, that pasuk, is not a break, and it could still be a makar for having to bench. Bracha, we're talking about this. Up till now, we're talking about bracha achrona. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Chanina. Kalshu mi'chamei shesem aminim, mevarech tchilim, mevarech alabar minim, zarez l'psal, bracha achas be'sholosh. Chanina says, anytime you eat one of the five grains, right, not rice, but one of the five grains, you make a mizonos and al hamichya. Amar Rav Bar Mari, Amar Rav Shuvan Levi. Kalshu mi'shivas aminim, betchilim, mevarech bori per ha'etz. One of the shivas aminim, you make a bori per ha'etz beforehand, grapes, pomegranates, figs, dates, etc. Ulo basel bracha achas be'sholosh, and you have to say an al ha'etz. Not everybody is aware of this. After you eat grapes, the bracha is not bori nefashas. It's al ha'etz va'al pri ha'etz. It's one of the shivas aminim of Eretz Yisrael, so you got to say an al ha'etz. Amalei Abayel Rav Dimi, my nihu bracha achas be'sholosh. So Abaya asks Rav Dimi, what is the bracha achas be'sholosh? What does achas be'sholosh mean? It means a summary of one of three. Al HaMichya or Al HaEitz is a shortened benching, just like we had a couple of weeks ago. Havineinu was a shortened Shmona Esrei. You have one line instead of each bracha of Shmona Esrei. If you think about Al HaMichya, it's the same kind of thing, right? We start off Al HaMichya v'alchalchla v'atru v'azada v'al eretz chem da tov rechava. That's like no delacha. Rachid v'ashav v'alkeidu v'ayisul v'albech v'ayishlecha u'v'nei yishlai v'erechavish v'meir v'meidu v'alev v'zacha. It's like benching. It's a shortened benching in one bracha. That's why it's called bracha achas me'ein shalosh. Summary of three. But what is it? Amalei. This is the nusach. Al priya eight, al peyre de eights. It's a little different than ours. Al peyre de eights, on the fruits of a tree, you say the following. Al eights, al priya eights, val tunuvas asadeh, val eres chenda, tova rachavash, in chadal abaseinu, lechem imperi v'spom mituva, rachim Hashem alakeinu ha'isul amecha, v'ishleim erecha, val tibish al mektashecha, v'al mesbechecha, v'tivne Yerushalayim ir kachecha, b'mher v'yameinu, v'halena l'sochav, z'amcheinu ba, or on the side it says, z'amcheinu b'vinyana, ki ata Hashem, tova meitiv lakol. Right, so that's pretty similar to our nusach of Al HaEitz or Al HaMechya. The Chameshes Haminim, and how do you that how by regarding the five grains? That was for fruits. What about for the grains, for bread, for mizonos? That you say Al HaMechya, Al Kachla, Al Truva, Al Sade, etc., etc. The Chosem Al HaAretz Al HaMechya. Right, you don't end off Al HaEitz, Al Priyetz, you end off Al HaAretz Al HaMechya. So Michsam B'mai Chosem. So what is? How do you end off by fruit? What's the bracha that ending up by fruit? Ki asar avdimi amarav chasim b'rosh chodesh baruch b'kadish yisrov b'rashi chadashim hachamai. By Rosh Chodesh or other types of brachos, just to give background to this line of the Gemara, usually when you end a bracha, you're only allowed to talk about one theme. Baruch Ad Hashem Gal Yisrael. Baruch Ad Hashem Chadon Amar B'Lisloach. One theme at the end. But you're not allowed to talk about two themes. So the question here is, what if you have two things that are kind of similar to each other? Or are they connected in some way? Are you allowed to end a bracha like that? So they're asking, what about al ha'aretz v'al pri ha'etz? Are you allowed to end like that? That's the potential ending. So you allowed to end like that? So, says Rav Dimi, Omar Rav, hey, well, we have a precedence. We say on Rosh Chodesh, al ha'mekadesh Yisrael v'rashi chadashim. So, sanctifies Israel, who sanctifies the chadashim. That's not exactly the same thing. Mekadesh Yisrael v'rashi chadashim. That's kind of two things. They're similar. But maybe they're similar enough like here. So if that's what you're allowed to say, so hachamai, are you allowed to say that here too? So Amar Rav Chisda Amar, Al Ha'aretz V'al Peiroseha. Yes, you're allowed to say it, and that's the nusuf. You say Al Ha'aretz on its Peiros. Rav Yochanan Amar, Al Ha'aretz V'al Ha'Peiros. Two different nusuchos. Peiros or Peiroseha. They ask the Gemara Amar of Abram, V'lo Pligi. There's no machlokas here, whether it's Al Ha'Peiros or Al Peiroseha. Halon V'halahu. We in Babel, we say Al Peiroseha. And in Eretz Yisrael, they say, al ha-peiros. They say, on the fruit. And here in Galus, in Babel, we say, on its fruit, on peiros leha. So what second? Maskel v'rachem bar Yitzchak, inu achli v'adam avarchinan, what do you mean? They're eating the fruits of Israel, and we're not. And we're saying, al peiros leha, on its fruit? Should be just the opposite. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela eifach, switch it. Say, if you eat fruit from the land of Israel, then you say, al ha'arez al peiros leha, the land and its fruit. If you're eating peiros from chutz laretz that are the Zayin Minim, from the Zayin Minim, so then you say al ha'aretz v'al ha'peiros. You have to make a bracha. But it's still the Zayin Minim should nishtabach of Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean that a dafka comes from there. Just means that they were nishtabach with it, but it still has the status of those. Rav Chisda, let's just finish that. I just want to say one thing. Rav Chisda Amar Al Ares Vala Peiros, Rav Yochanan Amar Al Ares Vala Peiroseha. Fine. But if you look at the Nusach here of Al HaMichya that was written here, it has most of our Nusach, but there was one line that's left out. We have towards the end of our line, at the end of our of Al HaMichya, V'haleinu L'socha V'samcheinu V'vinyana V'nochal Mipirya V'nispa Mituva. We're davening Hashem, bring us up, Alei Mituvah, bring us up, v'nochal mipirya, so that we can eat from its fruit, v'nisva mituvah, and be satiated from its goodness. Ask the tour on that girsa. That's why we're davening to have the geula, so we can eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. V'nochal mipirya, v'nisva mituvah. The Gemara in Sota says beferish. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Not because he wanted to taste the tasty fruit. He wanted to do the mitzvahs. What are we saying in Alamechia? V'nochal mipirya, v'nisva mituvah. So says the tour. What's that nusach doing here? So says the Bach. It's an amazing Bach. The Bach says that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, the fruit itself, has kedusha oozing out of it. The fruit and any foods that are grown in Eretz Yisrael, he says, kedushas haaretz hanishpas ba mikedushas haaretz ha'elyona hi nishpas gam bepeiroseha sheyonkim mikedushas hashchina hashochenes bekerav haaretz. The grapes of Israel are oozing with kedusha. The pomegranates. So he says that's why we say it. It's not that we want to eat. We want to eat those fruit to have that shechina back. Because now he says it's not even full. Because the shechina left, so the fruit aren't as full of kedusha. But when the shechina comes back and we have the full kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, then that fruit is going to be full of kedusha, just like the Yerushalayim Shamala and Eretz Yisrael Shamala. So he says that's what we mean by that bracha. That's what we mean. Okay. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm a base. I'm Rabbi Yisrael Rav Dimi Mishra Rabbeinu. Al habeya v'alamine kufra on eggs and meat v'tchila mevar shakalo v'sob v'reda fashas rabos. That's what we hold. Aval yakalo. But the first opinion says, but on vegetables, you don't have to make any bracha afterwards. For Rabbi Yisrael Rav Fili Yarka, no, of course, vegetables, you have to say v'reda fashas afterwards. Aval mayalo, but water doesn't require any bracha afterwards. Rav Papa Amar, hui paska like a fil maya. No, you have to make a v'reda fashas after everything. As long as you had the requisite shear. Marzutra avid k'Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Marzutra did like Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, meaning only meat and eggs and not vegetables. Rav Sivi bar Ashi avid k'Rav Yitzchak. Rav Sivi bar Ashi did like Rav Yitzchak, who said even on vegetables but not on water. The Simanech, how do you remember who did like who? Chad k'trei v'trei k'chad. The one who only has one name, meaning Marzutra did like the one with two names, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. And the one who has two names, Rav Simi bar Ashi, did like the one who has one name, and that is Rav Yitzchak. So that's how you remember which Amor did like who. The one who has two names mentioned did like the one who has one, the one who has one name did like two. Amar Rav Ashi, Ana, Zimna Tchimat Kirna, Avidna Kakula. Rav Ashi says, when I remember, I try to do like even the third opinion to make a Barina Fashas on water. Unclear, what does that mean, when I remember? You know, it's unclear exactly what that means, but we'll leave it. Tznan, Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Nida. Kol shetan bracha la'acharav tan bracha lefanav. This is the rule. Anything that requires a bracha after it requires a bracha before. There's nothing that you're going to make a bracha achrona on that you're not going to make a bracha rishona on. There's nothing under the sun like that. V'yei shetan bracha lefanav, eitan bracha la'acharav. But there is something that you will make a bracha beforehand on, but no bracha afterwards. So what is that? That's the Mishnah. So what is that case? So Bishlam Rav Yisrael bar Avdimi, I understand according to the Rav Yisrael bar Avdimi up above, what is this Mishnah referring to? What are you going to make a bracha beforehand on and not afterwards? Lafuke Yarka, vegetables, because he says there's no brain of fashions on vegetables. La Rav Yitzchak lafuke Maya. And according to the second opinion, it's to exclude water. That's what's included in the Mishnah. El Rav Papa lafuke Maya. According to Rav Papa, who says you even make a brain of fashions after water, what is this Mishnah referring to? That you make a bracha before and not after? Lafuke mitzvos. We make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. We don't make a bracha after we do a mitzvah. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Mitzvos, when you shake a lulav, you make a bracha before you shake a lulav. You don't make a bracha after you shake a lulav. When you put on tzitzis, etc. But the Gemara says, one second. Hey, but the Bnei Ma'arava from Eretz Yisrael, they did make a bracha when they took off their tefillin. And maybe this means they even made brachas always after they did mitzvahs. Lishmar chukav. So lafuki, according to them, you do make a bracha after you do mitzvahs. So then, what is the Mishnah referring to? So the Gemara answers lafuki richni. It's excluding brachas and smells. What we discussed yesterday, brachas areyach. You say bereim nebesamim. There's no bracha after that. Okay, two. Yeah.
Isn't the reason that we structure before and after because the beginning is a matir and the end is not anything else?
Okay, so the
case for mitzvah would make sense. Or for
it wouldn't make sense. We'll talk about that one day. Maybe mitzvahs would make sense. Reach, let me talk about right now. Why by Reach is there no bracha achrona? All other hana'as have a bracha achrona. So Rashi and Nida, where this Mishnah is quoted, says it's hana'a mu'etes. The small hana'a. What does that mean? Small, small, big, large. What does that mean? So the way the Magen Avraham understands Rashi is that by food, when you eat, after you eat food, it's still in your stomach. It's still there. You still feel the effects of it. So that's why you can make a bracha achrona. But by reyach, you smell it and it's gone. That's it. It's all over. There's nothing left. So that's what it means, hanamu etes. And the Taz just adds, by food, once it's not in your stomach anymore, after it's digested, it's too late to make a bracha achrona. Meaning, that's exactly what reyach is. Reyach, you never make a bracha achrona. This achal ha-mazon b'meyav. After the mazon is digested already, then we paskin, it's too late to make a bracha achrona. Hagufa, it's the same reason. Boy, reyach never gets a bracha achrona. So that is regarding reyach. That's why they made a bracha after tefillin. They still felt the kedusha. Okay. In a chinami, the Tosfos here talks about whether Shabbos and Laila is manfilin, Laila is manfilin. We're not going to talk about that now. But generally, we paskin that we don't make brachas after mitzvahs. The Mordechai quotes the Rav Yah that he used to make brachas after mitzvahs, not tefillin, but by other mitzvahs. The Beis Yosef quotes a minhag in Hilchas Tefillin that there are some people that take off their tefillin during Uvalat Zion. Think of that film. Why? When they say, etc., because to be a remes to this B'nai Marava, who took it off by Lish, who made the bracha Lishmar Chukav. So the Beis Yosef says it's totally wrong. He says, well, we don't paskin like these B'nai Marava. What are you trying to be Maramis to a B'nai Marava they don't paskin like? So he says you shouldn't do it. We say other reasons why you shouldn't do it. But he at least says there's no reason to be Maramis to the B'nai Marava. We don't pass him like the B'nai Marava. There is just one, there's one other makar, and then we'll move on. There's a Lavush. There's a Lavush that says, which is one of the great early poskim on Shulchan Aruch. So he says, interesting, by Kriyas HaTorah, we do make a bracha lachareha. Shabbachar banu and shanazal on Torah Semes. Why don't we make a bracha lachareha by learning? If Torah requires a bracha rishon, a bracha lefaneh, why is Kriyas HaTorah different than learning? Why? Because it's finite. Maybe this learning is over. He says, maybe that's true. Maybe that by laning, it's over. While by Torah, muta, when are you going to make a bracha achrona? When do you have to stop? When can you stop learning? It's always in the back of your mind that you always have to learn. So when can you make a bracha lachareha? And then he says at the end, but nearly, it appears to me, he says, maybe that's pshat, why we make two brachas by brachas haTorah. He says, because really you have a chiyuv to learn every second. So when can you say the chiyuv was finished? Even when you're falling asleep, you have a chiyuv to learn. You have to be osik b'Torah until you fall asleep. Ah, when you wake up in the morning, and you have the hefzik of sleep, now you can say you finished on the previous day. So the first bracha, brachas haTorah, is a real bracha achrona on the previous day's learning. And the next bracha is a bracha lefaneha on that day's learning. That's what he suggests. Okay, it's a bit chiddish, but that's what he says in Sivim Mem Zayin. Okay, fine. Either way, you have to explain why we have two brachas. Berachas haTorah. Okay, Vayter. Okay, right. Okay, I mean that's one is related to the general Asek and Asher Bachar Banu. Okay, that's one approach. That's what I said. Okay, good. Reb Yanai, Amar Rebbe. Okay, so Magarata. Kol Shehu Kebetza Betza Tova Mimenu. Anything that is the size, any food that's the size of an egg is better than that food. You can't have something that's the size of an egg that's as good as an egg. Kiyasa Ravin Omar Tava Biasa Mugulgulta Mishisa Kaisi Sulta. Better is literally a rolled egg. What's a rolled egg? It just means, the Rashi explains, it's like lightly roasted. A little roasted, it's and where it rolls around. Well, I guess he says a hard-boiled egg doesn't roll so much, but better is a lightly roasted egg from six Kaisi Sulta, from a lot of flour, from six kavim of flour. Kiyasa Ravdimi Omar Tava Biasa Mugulgulta Mishisa. Better is this roll, this roasted egg from six kavim of flour. Matvisa, if it's more roasted, me arba, is better than four kavim of flour. Mevushalta, if it's a boiled egg, so then that's when you apply the principle that was said, klosu kebetza betza tova heimenu, that anything is the size of an egg, the egg is better. This is better than this is a small egg, so it's better than anything else the size of an egg. Labarbi misra, except for a piece of meat. If you have a piece of meat the size of an egg, that can be better than an egg. That's the exception. But anything else the size of an egg, nothing's going to be as good. As good as Rashi here says, that I mentioned, but better for you. Tehe betza tova laguf bimenu, maybe in terms of health. That's how Rashi interprets it. Okay, second wide line. Rabbi Kiva Akiva Omer Afilo Achal Shelek. Rabbi Kiva said that even if you have vegetables as your main course, you're going to bench. That was what it said in the Mishnah. Omega Midat Avishalek Mazone. Can you possibly have vegetables as your main course? Amar Vashi Bekalash Akruv Shanu. Sure. If you have the stalk of kruv, of cabbage, you know, that's really, that could be a main course. Tana Rabbana. Tchol Yafel Lishinayim. Spleens of animals are good for your teeth. the kashal b'nei me'ayim, and it's difficult for your intestines. Again, this is relates to the general issue of medicine and science in the times of the Gemara. We a lot of times either don't understand it or it doesn't apply, or Nishtanu Hativrim, different approaches, but it's still Shas and we go through it. Creation, Kashan Lishinayim, V'yachavadevayim, the opposite. Leaks, creation, is difficult on your teeth, not good for your teeth, but good for your intestines. We're going to quote at five different lines, and then we're going to talk about each one. Kol Yerek Chai Morik. Any raw vegetable, morik, causes you to turn green, discolors you. V'chol katan maktin. Something small that's not ripe will cause you to become unripe. V'chol nefesh, meshev as a nefesh. Anything that was alive, animal, meshev as a nefesh, that if you eat it will revive you. V'chol karov l'nefesh, meshev as a nefesh. And any part of the animal that was karov to its nefesh, we'll see what that means, meshev as a nefesh, that revives you. Kruv l'mazon, v'tarjin l'refua. Cabbage for food, and radish, turnip, is good for refua, medicine. Tardin is beets. Oilo l'bayish, ha'lefes avers besocho. Woe to the person who eats turnip. Okay, anybody here eat turnip? We'll talk about it in a minute. Okay, those are the six lines of the brisa. So now let's discuss each one. Amar. T'chol yafal ishinayim v'kashal b'nei me'ayim. So my katakante, what if you want to eat t'chol? If you want to eat t'chol, you want to eat spleen, it's good for your teeth and not good for your intestines. What's the answer? Nilasei v'nishtei. Right? Chew it up and then spit it out. So it's good for your teeth, you get the benefits, then you spit it out, your intestines don't have to get it. Creation, kashal ishinayim v'yafal b'nei me'ayim. So what about the leak? That's good for your teeth, that's bad for your teeth, but not good for your, bad for your teeth, but good for your intestines. So my takante, lishlakinu b'nei v'leinu. Cook it so much that it's so soft that you don't have to chew it, and it goes straight down. Easy. Next line. Kol yerachai morik. Any raw vegetable causes you to turn green. Amar Rav Yitzchak, besudah rishona shalachar akaza. That's only if you're eating it as the first thing after you bloodlet. Then it makes you turn green. V'yamar Rav Yitzchak, kol ochel yerach kodem arbashos asur l'sabar himenu. If anybody eats this raw vegetable early in the morning, before it's time to eat lunch, you can't talk to him. It's asur. My time in Mishim Recha. Why? Because the breath of the vegetable from the person talking to you is going to go into your empty body because you didn't eat lunch yet, you didn't eat a main meal, and that's going to be dangerous. Maybe, but it says yarek, yes, maybe any vegetable early in the morning, that the breath will cause danger. The other Rabbi Yitzchak, a second line that Rabbi Yitzchak said, not that you're usher to talk to a person, but it's usher to eat it early in the morning. They were once sitting. And they brought in vegetables before the fourth hour of the day. 2 ate, 1 didn't eat. Why did you eat? Why, you didn't eat it because Rabbi Yisrael said you can't talk to anybody who's eating these vegetables early in the morning? You're talking to us. So you lose anyway. So what's the big deal about not eating? You're talking to us. So Amar Lahu, Anok Yidach Rabbi Yitzchak Sirali. No, I only hold like the second line of Rabbi Yitzchak. Thor Rabbi Yitzchak, Asul Adam Shiocha Yarchai Kodem Arba Shos. I say it's Asul to eat. I don't think the danger is going to get through the breath of another person. I'm going to hold it up to eat. So I'm not eating it, but I could talk to you. That's what Mar Zutra said. Next line quoted from the Brisa. Kol Katan Maktin. Anything that's not ripe makes you to become unripe. Amar Avchista Afilu Gadya Bar Avza. Barzuza, even a little gedi that's a barzuz, you know, that also this halacha applies to. If it's not grown yet, if it's not fully mature, it's not good. I always thought by Chav Gadya that Zamanab Vitre Zuze, that's a cheap goat. But here it sounds like Gadya Barzuza, even one that's cost a zuz, a lot of money. I don't know how to fit this with Chav Gadya, I'm not sure. But anyways, he says even a goat that's a barzuza, if it's not mature, so then it's dangerous to eat. V'lo amar nel d'lesle bei riva. That's only if it hasn't matured a quarter of its maturity. Aval is bei riva les lanba. But if it's matured a quarter of its maturity, so then nothing, no problem. Kol nefesh meishiv nefesh. Any time you eat something that had a nefesh, it revives your soul. Amar papa filo gildene de bei gili. Even little tiny fish that grow by the reeds, that is also called something that had a nefesh, and it's good for you. Kol akarav lanefesh meishiv as a nefesh. What is something that's close to the nefesh that you eat? Amar vacha bar Yaakov unka. Something close to the throat of the animal. That's next to his nefesh, because the neck is next to the heart, next to the lungs. That's the real nefesh of the animal. So that's good, healthy to eat, says the Gemara. Amalei Rava l'shame, when Rava used to tell his servant, ki maisisli umsa de bisra, when you bring me a piece of meat, tarach v'aisili mehecha de makariv lebe barach. Bring me meat from the place where they made the bracha. On shchita, right? So near the neck. So that's what it shows, that from that story, that near the neck was better. Kruv l'mazon tardin l'refua. So it says that cabbage is good to eat, and beets are good for health. Kruva mazon in l'refuah lo. Cabbage is only good to eat, but not for refuah. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa, she should ram rapid as a chole michal yo for us in refuah. Six things are good for a sick person. Ve'elohain, kruv cabbage, tardin beets, meisisin, something else. Dva, meisisin yavish, they change it to. V'keba, v'heres, heres is the womb of the animal. V'yoseres akaved, the lobe of the liver. So one of the things on this list is kruv. So you see, kruv is good for health, not just good for food. Elaim a kruv aflo mazon, you're right. It means that cabbage is also good for food, not only for health, but also for food. Last line of that brisa, oy lo labayi shahalefes overes pesocho, woe to the person, to the house, means the body, that turnip goes through it. Ani, is this true? V'amalei Rav Lashami, Rav has told his servant, ki chazis lifta b'shuka, when you see turnip in the store, lo temeli b'may karichta rifta, don't ask me, what are you going to eat for lunch today? Meaning, buy it for me and bring it home, and that'll be my lunch. So you see, people eat the turnip. So amar abaya no, mi b'li basar, it means you can't eat turnip without meat. If you eat it with meat, then it's okay. Rav Amar Mibli Yayin. No, if you eat it with wine, then it's okay. Itma Rav Amar Mibli Basar Shwal Amar Mibli Eitzim. No, you can't eat, you have to eat it with cooked a lot, with a lot of wood, meaning very cooked. Rav Yochanan Amar Mibli Yayin. You have to eat it with wine. If you eat it without wine, it's dangerous. Amalei Rav Papa Sudne. Rav tells Rav Papa Sudne. That means he used to make beer. Beer brewer. Anan tavrina love abisra v'chamra. We eat our turnip with meat and wine. Atundalon official chuchamra b'may tavrisalei. You don't have wine, you don't have meat, so what do you eat your turnip with? If you eat it alone, it's dangerous. Amalei b'tzivi, we eat it with wood. Ki, meaning a lot of wood, cooked very well. Ki had abisra Rav Papa, like the wife of Rav Papa, b'asad b'vashal b'vashal la, after she cooked it, tavrala b'timnin ufe parsiyasa. She used to use 80 logs in order to cook it, meaning she cooked it a lot. Taner Abanan, Dag Mal Katan Maliach, you have a salted fish, Pa'amim Shu Mamis Beshiva Beshiva Asar Be'esr Meshiva. Sometimes eating a salted fish on the 7th, 17th, or 27th day from when it was salted, it's somewhat dangerous. V'yamrila Be'esr Meshlosha, some say from the 23rd day from when it was salted. Velo Amran Ela B'mitvi, this is Velo Mitvi, it's only if it's slightly roasted. Avo Mitvi Shaper Les Lanba, but if it's very roasted, then it's okay. Ojalo Mitvi Shaper Lo Amran Ela Delo Shasa Basre Shichra. Only, it's only dangerous if you don't eat drink beer afterwards. Avo Shasa Basre Shichra Les Lanba. But if you drink beer after, it is okay. The Gemara is interested, it's a life book. It doesn't only tell you halacha, it tells you things to do to live properly. That's why it has all these things, even though it seems to us what's going on here. But it's like a medical journal also. It's not mamish a medical journal, but it's telling you if you live healthily, then you'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Again, we have to figure out how these things apply to Bizman Hazeh. Let's just finish up. The Mishnah said if you drink water for your thirst, what is that coming to exclude? The Mishnah says you have to say a shahakol. If you get something stuck in your throat, I need a drink. So you don't have to make a bracha shahakol on that. I don't know what the metzias is. If you're choking, you know, you're going to make a bracha then. Drink the water. But either way, that type of water doesn't need a bracha. Rav Tarfon Omer Bernefash Rabbis Chasronan, Armelei Rav Chanan Labai, Armelei Rav Yosef, Hilchas Amai, what's the halacha about burying nefashos? Do you say it before or after? Armelei Pukhazi Mayama Debar. Go outside to see what Chai Yisrael are doing. They say burying nefashos afterwards. So that's what we do. We say shahakol before and burying nefashos afterwards. Today's shir was Lezechan Ishmas from Moshe Ben Zvi. Correct. Like we mentioned about